We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
There was a story that got some attention locally and actually around the state. It was Assemblyman Pat Burke. Assemblyman Pat Burke is the Assemblyman for New York's 142nd District. And Pat Burke is a Democrat. Honestly, I don't really have a whole lot. I've never really agreed with much of what Pat Burke has said or done since he's represented a large section of this listening audience since 2019. And the other thing is that the three individuals in his assembly office were fired. And it was like this confrontation. One of them was community relations director, Matthew Deering, communications director, Brendan Keeney, and another individual named legislative director, Nicole Golias. They all appeared with Joe Beamer on Hardline this Sunday, and it was an interesting format because Beamer took them all on like at once and said, "All right, tell us your story and get into the details." And Matthew Deering, the community relations director, did a majority of the talking. It appears that he was the guy that was the most in charge of this plan of trying to get Pat Burke to be more vocal about denouncing white supremacy and the great replacement theory. And Pat Burke didn't want to go the way of his three, employees. He fired him. And now they're saying that, you know, Pat Burke somehow was, I don't know, dishonest, dishonorable. Joe Beamer joins us. He's filling in for Tom Bowerly later on from 2 to 4 or six. Joe, what happened there? When you heard the three guys talk, and by the way, I love Brendan Keeney. He's brilliant, super smart, one of the nicest guys. We worked with him for years. He knows more about, I mean, he could do a sports show tomorrow. The guy is just super talented. I love Brendan Keeney. But listening to these three talk about Pat Burke, and Pat Burke, I'm not a big fan of Pat Burke, but I got to tell you, I'm on Pat Burke's side on this. I think that a boss can do whatever the hell he wants. And if you want me to imply that Pat Burke is somehow a white supremacist, or that Pat Burke supports the shooter, or that Pat Burke doesn't understand, I mean, come on, it's Pat Burke. Pat Burke's not, Pat Burke does what Pat Burke wants to do. He's the Assemblyman.
Yeah, David, and you talk about the format. First of all, you know, I just didn't want to get in the way. I wanted these three to tell their story. So I kind of just handed the segment over to them. And I agree with you. Pat Burke saying, I don't know how far I want to go with what they were looking into, because this is how I took it, right? And obviously, Pat Burke has his story. I hope he comes on Hardline next week to give his side. He gave it to the Buffalo News. Pat Burke has his story, and they have theirs. And pretty much what happened was they were asked to do research on the replacement theory that we've heard so much of in the last 5 days. David, you've illustrated that last week. They did this research. They brought it to Pat Burke, and he pretty much said, "Nah, I'm not gonna. You know, I don't." According to them, the words were, "I'm not losing my seat in Albany over this." And then it just got to the point where the three are in his office. Matthew Deering said, "You know, I want you to do more on this." Pat Burke pretty much challenged him to resign. He refused, and he went on to fire all three in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WB. I'd be curious as to how people see this story. On its surface, you know, you've got three people saying, well, Pat Burke said this, and Pat Burke's like, I didn't say it. So I understand you got three people, but it just seemed like okay, there are a lot of things I appreciate about the younger generation, right? These are passionate people. These three employees, they believe in the cause. They're not working a job. They want to make a difference in the world. Okay. And I love that. And I, and even though they're lefties, and even though I don't agree with their world, I love that they're doing that, and I respect where they're at, and I respect the fact that they want to change the world. I really do. And I love that they want to work in public service. And Pat Burke, I don't agree with the way he sees the world, but Pat Burke is an assemblyman. And Pat Burke ultimately is going to lose an election because Pat Burke loses an election. And if you hire people, you're working for Pat Burke. You're working for the you're not elected to anything. Nobody gives, no offense to community director, no offense to the legislative affairs or the communications person. You're Pat Burke's communications person. You're Pat Burke's legislative person. You work for Pat Burke. If Pat Burke says, I don't want to do something, Pat Burke, that's his call. He doesn't want to do it. He's got constituents. He's got to make his own calls. You could agree with it or disagree with it. But to say that this is a wrongful termination, essentially, this is like a coup d'etat. They were like, do this, or what are they going to do if Pat Burke didn't do it? I mean, they went to the media and they're running around saying that Pat Burke is somehow, I mean, look, the subtext of what they're complaining about is that Pat Burke is somehow afraid to confront white supremacy. I mean, do you honestly believe that Pat Burke is afraid to confront white supremacy?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And David, this is how I kind of see it. You know, you can disagree, right? If you work in someone's office, you can disagree with them. But do you call them out? I think there's a way to do that. I kind of see this from both sides. I see that, okay, these three people disagree with the way you're handling it, but neither of them wanted to quit unless he was afraid while they were working for him, they were going to call him out while employees of his office. And maybe that's what was going through his head.
Well, yeah, maybe he was right because they all went to the media afterwards and gave a 4-hour interview. I mean, listen, it's like, you know, when I'm listening to the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, and there's a scene where, you know, they're recording each other for hours and hours. Again, the other person doesn't know the other one's recording them. And there was a part where, like, Amber's like, you're so insecure and you're so paranoid. Well, maybe it's because I know that you're recording me right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's because you've got a giant sombrero on with a camera and you're recording everything I'm saying for this moment. The moment the union breaks up, you're going to put this on the street. You can't have that as an assemblyman. You can't have that if you're running Uber, you know, a fleet of Ubers. You can't run that. You have that if you're running anything. Tim Wenger cannot run a radio station where his employees are recording his conversations or trying to out him or make him look stupid. You're gonna find out where the power lies in a radio station when you undermine authority or you try to embarrass the brand. It's going to happen. This is not new, and I don't get it. And the other thing is, it's like everything that they know more than the elected assemblymen. They don't. They don't.
It's a very millennial attitude.
They don't know more than Pat Burke does. Pat Burke knows his constituency, and maybe he wants to do it a different way. Maybe he wants to talk to the Black Caucus. Maybe he wants to address this differently. Maybe it's a very difficult situation to talk about, and Pat Burke wants to make sure that he doesn't offend anybody. I don't know Pat Burke. I'm just saying, he's an assemblyman. You let him make his own damn decisions. You did the research, and therefore he's got to do what you told him to stop. And then the one guy implies that the only reason why he has a job is because he's Black. That Pat Burke just wanted a Black guy to represent community relations, and he's the only Black guy in the office, so therefore he should have the job because he's the only Black guy? I mean, that's just, it's insulting to Pat Burke. Look, Pat Burke, whether he wins or loses, I don't know the man. I've never had an interaction with the man, but I'm saying, look, you want to hit Pat Burke on his policies, on the way he sees the world? I'd love to have him in this show, and I'd hit him on all those things. But at some level, you have to respect a human being and a man of honor and a man who runs for political office. And I just, I'm supposed to hate Pat Burke because the story. I don't. I think it's kind of silly.
Right. I mean, if you want to have something to say about Pat Burke, he sometimes can tweet things that, you know, come back to haunt him. That's what I will say. That is my opinion of Pat Burke, who I've had on Hardline a few times. He'll answer to it. I'll tell you that.
Listen, there's plenty of things to hit him. I appreciate you coming on, Joe. And
thank you, David.
Yourself.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to go online and check out that interview, it's excellently done. He lets them just talk and do their thing, and then he asks some questions. And I didn't hear from Nicole at all. I think she said, like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, she said, like, one thing.
She went into the interview. No, like, she said, right, I'm probably not going to say anything. So my challenge was to get at least a word out of her, and I did.
Right. I love Brendan, and I love the way he thinks. I know we disagree a lot, but he's a sound, smart guy.
Let me say this about Brendan Keeney. Brendan Keeney, as you said, David, worked here for a while. We would have some great conversations, like you. Keeney and I do not see eye to eye on a lot of political things, but he is very interesting to talk to, and he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. We just, like I said, politically do not agree.
I see it, but that just, to me, shows that we have people that disagree that work with us, and we all work together and respect each other. I love the kid. I really do. I think he's awesome. But I think he's wrong, and this, not so much. I mean, he basically held his ground and got fired because he stood on principle. But my whole point is that I just think it's a fundamental disconnect between some young people that work for elected officials and think, you know, I'm elected to. I have a responsibility to my constituents. Okay, but read the job. No, you're the communications for that elected official. He's running his career. And to, you know, talking about the guy's family at all, I don't care who Pat Burke married. I don't care what ethnicity of the person, male or female, that Pat Burke married. His kids, they're way, that's way out of line. That's way out of line, man. You don't talk... That's your boss. We don't talk about our family. We don't talk about their family. We don't mention spouses or children. It's just, it's wildly out of line. And so, Pat Burke, you know, you're going to hire who you want to hire. You're going to fire who you want to fire. If Pat Burke fired someone because they were a woman or because, you know, he said something, and there a million reasons why you could be wrong firing an employee. In this case, though, this is par for the course. And the reaction of these three to go to the media and somehow imply that Pat Burke isn't, you know, it's like a bad man. Like, he's a bad guy or he's a coward is, I think, kind of, you know, I've never really seen that before. I've never seen fired employees of an elected official do a media junket and talk about that their guy is not a good guy. I've never seen that before. Have you?
I haven't. And my question to them would be, David, you know, obviously these are three that you know, politically don't agree with anyone on the right and think that Pat Burke's not going far enough. So is your answer Pat Burke losing the seat? You know, that was going to be one of my questions, but I ran out of time.
Would I have credibility, though, if we lost our gig here and we went to, like, 97 Rock? We're like, let me tell you about what's really happening at WB. I just think you kind of lose your, I think you lose your credit, your credibility, and I think it's a bad look. Because, honestly, these are passionate people that want to work in politics, and we want passionate believers in their cause, even though they're opposite of the way I see the world. I want those people in one day run for office, replace the guy, beat him in a primary, right? Go out there and run for office, do your thing. But what you can't do is, who the hell's going to hire these three now? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be tough. I go with Matthew, the legislative guy, because he talked the most.
Matthew Deering.
Deering. Keeney and the woman, what's her name?
Nicole Golias.
Nicole and Brendan really didn't get a whole lot of, I didn't get their point of view. They just, it looks like they kind of got lopped into it. You know, like they were the Lincoln conspirators that were like, I had tea with David Azrault. I didn't know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see them as like but Matthew was obviously the spearhead of this. He's the one that's fired up about it. And I'm not even saying he's wrong about being fired. How could you not be fired up about what happened in Buffalo on last Saturday? How could you not be emotional? I totally get it. White people, black people, everyone's emotional about it. I understand it. But I think it's going to be really hard to sell to the constituents of Pat Burke that somehow he's afraid. No one's afraid to address white nationalism. Are you kidding? It's the lowest of hanging fruit. Who in their right mind is going to be like, you know, I looked at my demo and I have a lot of white nationalists in the West Seneca Orchard Park area. The south side of Buffalo is just lousy with white supremacists. I don't think Pat Burke's afraid to call out white supremacy. And I really don't think anyone in his constituency is going to be like, I'm against Pat Burke because he took a stand against white supremacy. I think it was the way he did it and on his own terms. And it was a sensitive thing. It's an emotional thing.
I would say this, not that I'm one to give advice to Pat Burke. I wouldn't be silent. He hasn't tweeted in 5 days. He didn't respond to appear yesterday on Hardline. I would say, don't let them get all the media. Maybe, you know, get some FaceTime, go on a network or two. That's just my point of view.
Well, I just think he's getting pummeled by everyone. You know, when the former coworkers come out, and when Caligiuri and Stelliano hold a press conference, you might want to take a few days off social media. You know what I mean? That's a bad one. When Caligiuri is like, Channel 2, 4, and 7, I'll be speaking about Bellevue at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And you're like, oh no, what's Caligiuri going to say? Did you get my fruit basket? Please. Whatever you do, don't do it. That was Joe Beamer. Download that podcast from Hardline on Sunday and just hear for it for yourself. One of them is obviously the ringleader, and he's super. And again, I don't even fault his passion. I don't even fault anything. I disagree fundamentally with some of the issues, but I don't have a problem with it. In fact, I want those types of people working at an assembly office, working in a congressional office. I just need you guys to understand that this is the way the world works. And that if your boss is like, I don't want to do this, you're not doing it. And I would be more disappointed if Pat Burke was like making decisions based on what his staff told him to do. That to me would be almost disqualifying as an assemblyman. Right. And I'm certainly not when have I ever said anything positive about Pat Burke? I disagree with the guy. I just don't think he's a bad man. I don't think he's evil. I don't think Pat Burke is a white supremacist. And I don't think Pat Burke is afraid to confront the obvious evil that occurred on last Saturday. I don't. I think everyone's emotional. I think everyone's worked up. And I think people are, you know, they want to do something and they don't want to be patient and they don't want to understand that, you know, sometimes the first white guy standing up is going to probably draw fire. And maybe Pat Burke was like, listen, let the community speak. Let the victims and the family speak. And then, yeah, as an elected official, I'll jump into this too. But it's not my district. It's not my area. I'm going to do things the way I want it. What do you think of that Pat Burke situation? Three employees are telling him this is what we should do, upset that he doesn't do it. They end up getting fired. They go and tell the world that they don't like Pat Burke. Whose side are you on? What do you think of that whole situation? 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBN. Take your calls about Pat Burke and his staff right after this brief message.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We Welcome back to the program. 803-0930-1800-616-WBN. We're asking you, when you hear the story about Assemblyman Pat Burke, three employees, they wanted to the Assemblyman to go in a direction. The Assemblyman chose not to go in that direction. I guess they wanted him to be more proactive towards being against white supremacy, which would imply that Pat Burke is soft on white supremacy, which I don't have a horse in this race. So I'm just kind of like, you know, all right, I can understand if there's someone who said inartful things in the past and all of a sudden it's like, well, why aren't you being more proactive against these? You know, I don't know of anyone who saw any serious person that saw that has experienced what this community has gone through can honestly tell you that they're on the side or they're soft on what this terrorist represented. I mean, I just find that to be beneath dignity to say that about anyone, a Republican, a Democrat, anyone, right? We can all agree on that. So Pat Burke fires the three employees. It was at the right move, the wrong move. What side are you on? Let's go to Pauline is on line one on the east side. Pauline, what do you think looking at this story? How do you look at it?
I think that he needs to be fired. I think he's completely off base. I think he's insensitive to everything that's going on. For him to quote an article from 2016 where he's against white supremacy, I think he's very insensitive for just putting out a damn tweet. Shame the hell on him. Seriously.
Let's get back to what you said about 2016. What did he do?
It said in 2016 he made a comment against white supremacy. That was
okay.
Years ago. What the hell is he doing about it now?
Right. So would you
staff for standing up against him? Screw him.
Right. So, but are you implying that if you're not saying, like, for example, ISIS is a horror, no one's going to be on the side of ISIS, right? So, if you made a statement in 2016 saying, you know, ISIS is they're beheading people, they're raping people, ISIS is the worst thing in the world, and then ISIS has an attack in like 2022, you're required to denounce ISIS every time they do something horrible. Like, what is the benefit of that? Like, you're on the record saying you're against ISIS.
I think he was very insensitive. I think he was very desensitive to just put a damn tweet. No, these people that are elected officials, they need to do more.
So let's say this. Let's say that you want your elected officials to act like they care. What about like the legislation that they pass that would stop this from ever happening again? That's more important than, you know, placating, because everyone placates to emotions, but they don't do anything, right? So let's say, Pauline, someone gave you the best speech in the world, and it made you feel like, wow, this guy's really on my side, and he wants to do something, but he doesn't do anything, right? I mean, it's got to be more for our elected officials to just say the right thing when a tragedy.
Words are nothing. Right. It's all about action.
Right. So that's why I'm saying that to me is what I'm having a hard time understanding your argument, because if it's the actions that you're looking for, wouldn't it be the bills that he puts out or the things that he actually has done for, you know, the better part of, you know, his career in politics?
No, I think he was wrong for letting those people go. They're allowed to be angry at him. They're allowed to feel like he was insensitive, that he didn't do enough. They have every right to feel that way. He doesn't live on the east side. He's out of touch with reality, with really going on in the east side and what happened and how our community feels about what happened. I'm so serious. All of these politicians are out of touch with reality, including Governor Hochul, including President Biden.
Okay, so, but my argument is that if you look at where his district isn't even on the east side of Buffalo.
I understand that.
Right. No. So I'm saying is that he's not claiming to live in the east side of Buffalo. It's not his district.
I understand that. I understand.
Right. No. But what I'm saying is that, like, if he did say he was from the east side of Buffalo, let's say that Pat Burke got involved in the press conference, you got the FBI, you got Hochul and Byron Brown and police and DA. And then Pat Burke shows up and he's like, I want to say this about white supremacy. Everyone's going to be like, Pat Burke, what are you doing? It's not your district. You're not, you know, why are you crowbarring your way into this press conference? You know what I mean? Even Jonathan Rivera. What's that?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I'm saying like if Jonathan Rivera jumped into the press conference and said, you know, I would like to say a few things, you know, he's entitled. He has opinions. He's an elected official. He can go out there and do whatever he wants to do. My point is that I'm just trying to look at this and be fair, because again, you know, I find myself in the unenviable position where I'm defending Pat Burke, who I necessarily don't really agree with none of where he stands or sees the world. But I'm just saying, in reality, if your employees do something as an assemblyman or an elected official or a boss, even at your own workplace, and your employees are like, you're going to do this, you can't talk to your employer like that. A boss at some point has the ability and the right to say, you guys are out of line. I'm going to do what I want to do, and this isn't the way I'm going to handle it. What do you think about that?
Like, it was right. Do you feel like it was right that they actually were fired for speaking up?
I think it's right that you're telling an assemblyman that this is the way you're going to address a situation to an elected official. He's going to be the author or finisher of his career. If he loses an election, it's because of Pat Burke. No one's going to blame his staff when he loses an election.
I understand.
Right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's ultimately him. It's like my show, right? I could take advice from everyone at Odyssey. I could take advice from management. I could take advice from my sponsors, my listeners. I lose my show, it's because I lost my show. I can't blame Tony Caligiuri if I get fired. My ratings are in the tank. No one wants to sponsor my show. I can't be like, you know whose fault this is? It's Tony Caligiuri's fault. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying, ultimately, you have to be accountable for your product and your thing. And I'm saying that, like, if they would have said, hey, why don't you do this? And he's like, no, I want to do something else. And then, but here's the thing that bothers me. They went to the media right afterwards. And that makes it seem like Pat Burke did something unethical or he did something immoral. And from even their own conversations, I don't sense that. Do you sense that he did something unethical or immoral?
No, but I feel like they were disappointed and they wanted the public to know. Like I think he was wrong. I think every single councilman, every single politician, every single senator, everybody, actually every single person that's been voted into office, especially for the state of New York, should be denouncing hate crime, white supremacy. What happened in Buffalo? What happened on the east side of Buffalo? What happened at Tops should have never happened. And people are so unsensitive to how people are feeling. I'm white. And I'm outraged. I'm angry. Understand that.
I'm with you. I think everyone should be outraged. But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm not tracking how someone is insensitive because they're not denouncing. Okay, let me put it this way. If this happened to us, right, happened to the region, we all saw this, we're all disgusted, we all slept differently, we're all different people. Last Friday, we're different people than we are today, right? You agree? We've all been affected by this, and it's all disturbing and bothersome. We hear about the victims and what they were just buying food and the type of people that were in this store. These were like, you know, pillars in the community, loving people, driving people to get groceries. Not a single person in that store. You can make any argument that they were doing anything wrong or they deserved anything close to what happened to them. And now, if that was just a random gang-related shooting, it's outrageous. But now you add the fact that that person specifically went there to kill people of a different skin color. It just takes that confusion and that hurt, and it puts it on steroids times a million of how outrageous and unnecessary and evil that was. I'm with you 100%. What I'm saying is, if I live in a world that I need people to denounce that, in order for me to understand what kind of world I live in, then we're far off from where we should be. Because to me, it was by default that a white supremacist, everyone's against it. It's by default. Like, I'm shocked at the people who the hell took a platform and supported it. Like, that would blow me away. If a person was like, you know what, let's give this guy a shot. Maybe he was misconstrued. Wait a minute. No. By default, if there's people for white supremacy, they're living in the catacombs and they're underground. Well, that's the problem.
You mentioned that. Did you hear about the correctional officer from Attica that wrote the insensitive cleanup in aisle 2468?
I heard there was a couple of radio people.
They fired.
Yeah, there was a radio guy that made a similar joke. These are stupid people, though. I mean, that would be insensitive if it wasn't. Forget it being a hate crime. You know, you make a comment like that about anyone who's shot or killed. Those are idiots, right? So, I mean, again, I'm not going to use him as he's not the outlier. That's a moron. That's a person that just is a stupid person. No one of sound mind and no one that is. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to try to shock and be funny. None of that is appropriate. But I'm saying that if it's an elected official that has to make a statement that he's against it, if we're on the fence, whether or not we think our elected officials support that or against it, we've lost control of our democracy. Right?
I guess that argument's for another day. I mean, honestly, my biggest...
I thought that's what your argument is, that you wanted everyone to denounce it.
Why? Well. The biggest reason why I called this, I don't think those people should have been fired. Point blank. Period.
Okay. All right. Listen, I hear what you're saying, and I'm with you that you think that they should have been fired. I disagree with you, but that's your point, and I respect your point. I appreciate you calling it, Pauline. Thank you. Let's go to good call. Let's go to line three, Charles of Buffalo. Charles, when you have people that are standing against a boss or an elected official and they get terminated because that's not the direction the boss wants to go, do you think that the assemblyman's right here, or do you think the workers are?
First off, I don't really agree with the assemblyman, but I think he's right for firing him, because how many times do you have to denounce it? You know, it's denounced. Let's get on with it. Let's fix the issue. Let's fix the area.
See, that's I think, and again, I want to cut you off, but that to me is the answer, is that denouncing it doesn't really do anything to change it.
No,
right?
Actions.
Right.
Actions fix it. You know, and our economy right now is a tank. You know, everybody's hurting, and it doesn't matter what, you know, anybody making under $100,000 a year is hurting bad. And it's going to be a disaster if this stays like this for a long time at close to $5 a gallon of gas. And they say it's going to go over $6.
Right. But when you look at a situation where, you know, this happens to the community, it's a national story, you've got all of this attention. But my point is that if I heard someone that was like, you know, what I need is everyone to denounce what happened. If that's our barometer for whose side you're on, then we've got a lot of things to fix, because it's much more than just denouncing what happened. There's got to be a way to combat this ideology.
It is, but you have to have it in open dialogue to debate it, not having it hide in the underground. We need people that will come up and say, look, you're wrong, and you need to rethink your thought, because it's morally wrong. We're all human beings, and if we don't treat everybody that way, that's the problem.
But there's a point, and I'm saying this to the audience, not to Charles, there's a point that Charles is making here that I think is probably the most important point that no one has been able to make yet, and Charles is the first to bring this, at least on this program, which is, now is the time for more speech, not less speech. I want to know that there's a person in the community that thinks like this shooter, so that we can all say, wait a second here. Wait a minute. I got an 18-year-old kid that's like quoting mass shooters. I don't want that. I don't want you censored. I don't want you in on the dark web. I don't want you in a hand and arm signal meeting in a clubhouse at the middle of the night with torches. I want you in the open. I want to know who these people are. I want to know why we can't combat that with our own conversations, our own speech, and say, listen, we got a problem here. Mom and dad, you might not want to do anything about it. I'm hearing this for the first time, and I want to do something about it. That is wicked, twisted ideology, and we need to be aware that this 18-year-old kid is saying these things. That's why you can't, you don't censor that type of speech. You let it out in the open and let everyone know it's out there, it exists, and we have to come at it as a collective.
I agree with you 100%, David. I've never talked to you before. I want to thank you very much for your service to our country. And your point of view goes a long way to a lot of people. And
oh, thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
That means a lot, Charles. Thank you very much for your phone call. Thank you. I appreciate that. But that point that Charles made, though, I think is the most important point, which is we never, ever want to censor that speech that is the stuff that makes us queasy and uncomfortable. Because if you have to take your evil and your hate underground, that's where it breeds, and that's where it breeds unmolested. It breeds without any check or counterpoint. And that's how you get movements that nobody knows anything about. I didn't know we had an Islamo-fascist, Islamist militants living in our own backyard. Well, maybe it's because you canceled them and deplatformed them. If you're a white supremacist organization, I want to know who's following you. I want to know who's sharing your talking points. I want to see it. I want to see it. And I want to know to A, stay away from them, and B, allow the society and the culture to combat that twisted evil ideology. Because if law enforcement can't find everybody, if law enforcement's not in our emails or our phone calls or any of the things they need, it's once this guy gets a gun and is on the 90, making his way to shoot up and destroy lives, it's far too late. It's far too late. That's got to be out in the open. We want those people to be able to say, yeah, I think this. Am I wrong? Yes, you are. And the statistics you're putting out there are wrong. And the ideology of, you're not footnoting, this manifesto isn't exactly footnoted. Don't have a lot of data that we're using to supplement and support our ideology. It's just more babble. Unchecked, unverified, crazy babble. And whenever someone talks like that, we cut them out of society. Wait a second. No one should hear that. No one should believe that. No. Everyone should hear it, and everyone should have an opinion on it. Because once you isolate that and it's out there, everyone else can now say, I had no idea that people thought like that. Hey, you know what? I actually want to talk to my kids now. Hey, you know what? I want to go to my kids' school. I want to do something at youth group. I had no idea that 255 people in our region would like the, David Duke Foundation. I had no idea that many people would support this craziness. And by the way, I'm friends with four of them. Unfriend, unfriend, unfriend. I'm going to reach out to them, direct message, and say, what are you doing? Right? That's how we get proactive with hate. We address it. We confront it. We debate it. We have discourse with ignorant minds and either love them or try to educate them. But when they get violent, we have to confront that as well to safeguard innocent people. There's a time to love and a time to debate. When you're buying ARs and going into grocery stores, we've missed that opportunity to love and educate. And right now, the policies in New York will never allow us to educate and love people on the fence they're fully radicalized by the time they're buying guns and wanting to kill people. And then we can't do anything about it. Now I've got to depend on law enforcement to do everything. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBN. What do you think about that? Is now the time for more speech or less speech? Do we need to restrict these, you know, 180 degree from reason hate mongers? Or do we allow them to put that stuff out there so we can A, see what's going on, and B, try to get involved with people spreading hate, nonsense, and misinformation? Is it time for more speech or less speech? I want to take your calls right after this break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.